Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This program is titled Practical Tips for Handling Difficult Customers. Well, Tom, you've been in business for over 30 years, so I suspect that you've run into a few difficult customers in your time.
I sure have, Bill. Matter of fact, if anyone's worked with the public for more than an hour, they've probably encountered a difficult customer. Over the past 30 years, I've run into dozens of them. However, Steve brought up a point that I really had not considered. He said the customer's first impression creates a final, yes, a final decision on the type of service they expect to receive, and they also make a final decision on the company's culture. I hadn't really thought about the first impression conveying the company's culture as well. He also made another rather profound statement. He said customers don't often gather information to make a decision. They gather information to justify their decision.
Yeah, I found that one interesting as well, Tom. You know, I also like the suggestion that Steve made on what he calls the split-second response. Before responding to a difficult customer, he suggests that we pause for 2 seconds, take a slow, deep breath, and then engage rational thinking. Well, Tom, I've personally known Steve for many years and have always found his information to be both entertaining and very practical. Steve Kasha is one of the most widely published and quoted authorities in the trades publications on topics of customer service and soft skills. His new seminar, Converting Incoming Calls to More Sales, is his most innovative and groundbreaking curriculum yet. His frequent television appearances have also made him the ideal spokesperson for the service and trades industry. His soft skills curriculum is taught worldwide at colleges and career centers. The bottom line is predictable. His clients make more money through better customer retention, increased upselling, and a heightened awareness of how stress can limit productivity and effectiveness. Steve's presentations cut through the clutter and focus on key tactical behaviors which enable a company to become a world-class company. And now, with practical tips for handling difficult customers, here is Steve Kasha with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Hello, this is Steve Kasha. Welcome to this lesson on handling difficult customers. This topic is going to focus on some of the self-control issues that you will be able to maximize if you pay attention, if you take notes, and if you apply what you will learn during this audio lesson. Difficult customers, from my experience, come in 3 distinct types. The first type of difficult customer is the customer who uses what we call the attack. The attack is when the customer's intent is to intimidate or to posture and put themselves into a dominant role. The attack might be against you, against your personality, against your credibility, your ideas, your company, your capability. This customer just wants to attack, and they sound like it, and they look like it, whether you're dealing with them over the phone or face-to-face. The second type of behavior that difficult customers can use is called the stonewall. The stonewall is what happens when a customer refuses to budge. The intent is to convince you that there's no choice other than theirs. This customer reduces their own flexibility and forces you to become more flexible. And that stonewall posture, boy, that can be a real challenging thing to deal with. And then the third type of difficult customer behavior is what is called the deception. This is when customers exaggerate their situation to trick you or to take advantage of your belief that they are acting in good faith. Manipulation is another form of deception. So these 3 difficult types of behaviors, the attack, the stonewall, and the deception, are what any service professional may have to deal with very infrequently. So let's just get off the bat and say that 90% of the time you're going to be dealing with customers who are pleasant, they're courteous and they're honest and they're interested in a mutually beneficial business relationship. But then about 10% of the time, you're going to deal with someone who's a little more challenging. So whether you're dealing with the attack, the stonewall, or the deception, the techniques and the strategies that you must use are all about the same for each one of these behaviors. And the first strategy that every service professional must maximize to their advantage, whether you're over the phone or face-to-face, is the strategy of a positive first impression in all of your service encounters with telephone customers or face-to-face customers. The first impression matters most. This is because that first impression creates an image in the customer's mind about you and the company that you represent. So the first impression about yourself is also the customer's final decision about you. So here you can discern a contradiction between the word first and the word final, where the first impression is the customer's final decision. And that's the way most people operate. People make assumptions about other people. Customers make assumptions about you. And your first impression creates a final decision in the customer's mind about the type of service you're going to deliver and the type of culture your company delivers to their customers. So that first impression piece is paramount. Now let's take that to just another level, and let's say that within the confines of the positive first impression is the fact that customers don't often gather information to make a decision. They often gather information to justify their decision. So in this next level, you've got some complicated words. You've got the word justify, and you've got the word information about how customers decide something. So here's what usually happens. When your first impression is perceived to be positive, the customer will seek additional information to justify to themselves why they like you, or why they trust you, or why they should permit you to solve their problem or answer their question. So that first impression creates a final decision in the customer's mind, and then the customer seeks the justification for that final decision that they just made about you. And you have control over what customers are going to perceive about you. And that self-control that we have is mostly based on our attitude. Attitudes matter when we are serving difficult customers, no doubt. So here's the way attitude works in a customer service situation. In a face-to-face situation, customers want to believe that they're doing business with someone who is good at their job. And customers will perceive that you're good at doing your job if you look like you're happy. Customers want to do business with other people who look like they enjoy the work that they do. Whenever someone pulls up to a property in a truck or is on site to do an installation or maintenance work, if that service professional looks miserable and unhappy about doing the work that they do, that first impression causes the customer to make a final decision about that service professional and the company that they represent. And customers don't want to be served by someone who looks unhappy in doing their work. So you've got to look like you enjoy doing your work. Customers are going to make the assumption that you enjoy doing your work because you are good at it. And when a customer assumes that you're good at it, they're going to give you a lot more flexibility, and they're going to trust any suggestions or recommendations that you might make. So never underestimate the likability factor. When we are serving customers, the more likable you are, the more a customer is going to trust you. and they're going to listen to what you say, and that service relationship gets off to a much better start. When you're working with difficult customers, the same thing applies. You want to look like you enjoy doing your work. You want to look like you're capable and authoritative. Whenever we convey uncertainty or apprehension, customers start to make the assumption that we don't know what we're doing. And in that situation, customers are less likely to trust you. They're less likely to let you do your work. And they're going to interrupt you a lot more often. And they're going to follow you around and look over your shoulder and create all those situations that make the service encounter even more challenging. So here are some of the things we can do to maximize our attitude when we're serving difficult customers. The first one is that what you think about a person or topic is going to flavor your presentation. So whether you're over the phone and you get a call from one of your customers who might be perceived as high maintenance, you know who the high maintenance customers are. Those are the ones that call frequently, and they've got a question, they've got a complaint, they've got a gripe. And whenever you have to handle a phone call from one of those high maintenance customers, what you think about that customer is going to flavor your presentation. So if you think they're high maintenance and you're thinking to yourself, oh no, not them again, well, that flavors your presentation. Customers can hear it in your tone of voice. So regardless if you're dealing with a high maintenance customer or someone else, you've got to have that professional demeanor. You've got to have a positive tone of voice. You've got to be smiling over the phone. So a customer perceives that you're professional. And flavoring a presentation is something that happens very subtly over the phone. It's in little intonation manifestations. So you've probably encountered someone who had a tone of voice that you might qualify as a snippy tone of voice. Well, that snippy tone of voice is an interesting manifestation of what telephone people experience when they get stressed out. So when it comes to stress, you've probably heard of what is referred to as the fight or flight response. So the fight or flight response means that when our environment changes to be perceived as something as a threat or something more dangerous, this instigates our ability to either fight with the threat or run away from the danger, hence the fight or flight response. Well, those same situations happen over the telephone, or they can happen face-to-face. When they happen over the phone, it's called telestress, T-E-L-E-stress. Telestress is the physical and emotional manifestation of stress for people who work on the telephone. So it typically happens over the phone if a customer service representative hears a tone of voice from a difficult customer. You know, some of the aggression and some of the tone of voice that easily displays that the customer is not happy can instigate the fight or flight response. And that fight or flight response is rather challenging because if you're working on the telephone, you're probably at a desk or in a cubicle, and there's nowhere to run, and there's no one with whom to fight because the customer is over the phone. So you can't fight with them. You can't run away from them. However, when telestress happens, people create psychological attempts to either fight with or run away from a difficult customer. So here's how that happens. The psychological attempt to run away from the customer is manifested in what is called apathy. Apathy means a person does not care. So you detach yourself from the customer's best interest and you convey more of a monotone tone of voice that the customer hears, and that apathetic and monotone tone of voice means that you don't care it anymore. And that's how the psychological attempt to run away from the situation is manifested. the fight or the aggression over the phone happens with that snippy tone of voice. Well, you can't really fight with a customer, but customer service reps sometimes retaliate or get back at the customer using a little snippy tone of voice. And boy, that situation can really make things worse. So what service professionals have to be mindful of and paying attention to is their self-control. You can't control the customer. You can't control the equipment or the event. The only thing you can control is yourself. And this is what separates the professionals from the amateurs when it comes to handling difficult customer. It's not letting your flavor of the tone of voice become inserted into any part of a telephone conversation that you might be having with a difficult customer. Now, face to face, some of the fight or flight response is also manifested. And when you're face to face with a customer, if you think that it's going to be a challenging situation, sometimes you start to give off visual clues that you're upset. And people do that with their eye contact, they do that with their facial expression, and they do that with their body language. So the habit that every service professional must get into when you're dealing with a face-to-face difficult customer is the habit of what is called a split-second response. And the split-second response is a pause, a slow deep breath, followed by rational thinking. Now that sounds real basic, but I assure you about 80% of the service professionals don't do it. And when you don't pause and you don't take a slow deep breath and you don't think rationally, then you're probably going to react to what the customer just did. And when you're serving customers, a reaction will get you into trouble. There's a big difference between a reaction and a response when you're dealing with a customer who manifests either the attack or the stonewall or the deception. So we have to maintain our professional demeanor during those situations. So the reaction is more instinctive. The response requires a little more thinking. And the thinking as part of the response is the rational thinking that a service professional conveys after they pause and take a slow deep breath. So this is the habit that everyone has to deal with when you're serving difficult customers. A 2-second pause and a slow deep breath becomes the reminder that you need to be thinking about what to do next. And that thought has to be something constructive, and it usually has to be something empathetic. And what usually should happen after the rational thinking is the empathy that reminds you to listen to what the customer is saying. Because part of the fight or flight response is a service professional's inclination to want to defend themselves or make excuses or try to rationalize. And in the presence of all that, the customer really doesn't care. All the customer wants to know is, what are you going to do for me? So when a difficult customer is complaining or griping, they are much more likely to permit you to do your job if they sense that you're paying attention and you're listening. So the empathy and the listening is the key component that has to come after the split-second response. Then after you've conveyed the empathy and the listening, the next thing you can get prepared to do is to convey what it is you can do to help the customer. Conveying what you can do is always more constructive than what you can't do when you're serving challenging customers. So those are the things that service professionals must pay attention to. And that split-second response also works over the phone when you're serving telephone customers. So another aspect of attitude when you're handling difficult customers is about conveying something positive. Because in every customer service situation, we invite the type of behavior that we convey towards others. So if you look at that expression, if we invite the type of behavior that we convey towards others, if you want to invite more constructive behavior from a customer, then you've got to convey more constructive behavior. Because whenever we get snippy, whenever we get frustrated or impatient, that's what you're going to invite back from the customer. So the self-control that we have to master when you're serving challenging customers is keeping in mind that you will always invite the type of behavior that you convey towards others. Now, another aspect of attitude when you're serving customers is about the tone of voice, and this is especially over the telephone. So it is my opinion that 80% of what a customer hears over the phone is your tone of voice. Regardless of what words you are using, it is the tone that gives the words their true meaning over the telephone. So over the phone, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And what you say is the content. How you say it is the tone of voice. So just imagine the 80% and 20% principle. 80% is the tone, 20% is the words. Maximize that tone. So over the phone, that tone of voice speaks, it speaks loudly, and service professionals get an opportunity when they maximize their tone of voice to sound like they're someone with more tenacity and diligence, both of which behaviors are audible, both over the phone and face-to-face. So the word tenacity is the word that just means to never give up. It means if you've got a problem, it may not be your fault. Maybe you didn't sell it, you didn't install it, you didn't maintain it. It's not your fault, but if the customer called you, it's your problem, and it's your job to fix it. And while that sounds unfair, that's the reality when it comes to serving customers. So the best service professionals are tenacious. They understand that it's not their fault, but they also understand that if they got the call, then it's their problem, and they're going to handle it. And the diligence, which means the hard work and the attention to detail, that is the other thing that customers can sense. If you're face-to-face with a customer, customers like to see you writing things down, being diligent, and capturing all the little nuances and details about the customer's situation. So those are all aspects of your attitude that customers can hear and they can see, whether they're being served over the telephone or in a face-to-face encounter. And then another aspect about attitude is that customers don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you may be the most technically proficient person who knows all about the specifications and all the modifications and the details, but all of that technical information really doesn't get you too far if a customer senses that you don't care. So whenever a difficult customer senses apathy in a monotone voice, your technical details really don't matter much. So customers don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That expression is mostly about empathy. The empathy that demonstrates to a customer that you really care. People often ask me about telestress and why those manifestations can be so profound when we are serving difficult customers. Well, here's why those situations are so profound. It's about what happens inside of your body when that fight or flight response arises. So if you can imagine, if there was a real threat and there was some danger, your body would sense the danger, and then our body begins a chain reaction. And it's a chain reaction in which the endocrine system starts to secrete hormones that energize and enable us to either fight with or run away from the perceived threat. So the endocrine system secretes a series of hormones through a series of glands. So glands such as the pituitary gland, the adrenals gland, the pancreas, the thyroid, all those glands throughout the body secrete hormones. And some of those hormones enable us to become very aggressive, which is why self-control is so important when we are serving customers. Again, you can't control the equipment, the customer's behavior, the traffic, the weather, but you can control yourself. And the number one rule for handling difficult customers is to maximize self-control. Now, maximizing self-control includes knowing how to stay empathetic and still stay rational without feeling like we are burning out. So one of the situations I have encountered, especially among people who work the phones, is if they are handling multiple difficult customer calls, they can experience some burnout over the phone. And the burnout over the phone is often a result of extending lots of emotional energy without getting enough positive reinforcement back. Now, some of that is a management situation in any customer service department. So if any service managers are listening to this audio message, be on the lookout for those situations where one employee may be handling a disproportionate amount of difficult customer calls. And make sure the workload can be balanced more proportionally. Because whenever someone experiences some of that, where they're extending all this positive energy to solve other people's problems, but they don't get the sense anyone cares about them, that's what will result in some of the burnout that can happen. Other manifestations that can make handling difficult customers more challenging has to do with what service professionals eat and drink. That's right. Proper diet is a very important part of what enables service professionals to be more constructive and helpful when they are serving difficult customers. So when service professionals drink too much coffee, that coffee renders a service professional into a state of what is called hyper-alertness. And at that state of hyper-alertness, people tend to accelerate their pace of speech and their behavior. They get a lot more reactive and less proactive. So minimizing some of the caffeine that we might drink and eat in some of the food and beverages that we consume can make a difference. So consider more water. Water also is a great source of hydrating the brain. The brain thrives on hydration. Whenever we don't drink enough water, we are limiting our brain's potential to do what it needs to do in reminding us to do the split-second response, the pause, the slow deep breath, and the rational thinking. And another aspect about what we are eating and drinking includes the consumption of more whole foods and less processed foods. So you're probably aware about carbohydrates and some of the foods that can tend to slow us down. And some of the processed foods, boy, they contain lots of carbohydrates and sugars. And sugar may give you a short-term high and a short-term energy boost, but then it renders you in a more apathetic state. So the best suggestion is more whole foods, more vegetables, and more fruits, and to eat more constructively. That renders a person to be at their peak performance level when they are serving customers. So it sounds a little off track about customer service, but I have found that proper diet makes a big difference when you are serving customers. Now, another aspect of handling difficult customers includes lifestyle balance and getting enough exercise. So I am a big proponent of, whether you're serving customers over the phone or face-to-face, make sure you're getting the right exercise so you can burn off some of the stress that you might experience in doing your work. So exercise may just be a walk outside. It may be going to the health club or the YMCA, but get enough good exercise. Exercise also enables you to have a better blood flow. It's better for your heart, better for your overall mindset in serving others. Another aspect is to pay attention to what you're reading and what you're listening to. It's my opinion that what we read and what we listen to impacts what we think about. And if you're reading and listening to more positive information, you will start to think more positively. So when we make the proper choices about the books we read or the shows that we watch or the audio programs that we listen to, the more positive and constructive that they are, the more positive and constructive our behavior will be. So those things, they matter much, and they become a big part of what we do when we start to serve others, especially those challenging and difficult customers. So I mentioned empathy earlier. Let me just get back to empathy a little bit. And I want to focus on the one important part of empathy, and that is listening. Listening is considered to be a passive exercise. Yeah, whereas most people think communicating when they speak is the active part of communication. But I have found that listening is actually as active as speaking. And here's how listening becomes much more active. It becomes more active because listening requires lots of energy. And when we are energetic listeners, this will keep our mind active and attentive to what a difficult customer is saying. So empathy and listening is that other part of what we can do to convey a more positive message when handling difficult customers. So I am at the close of this presentation, and it is my hope that you receive something insightful that you can use when you serve difficult customers. Again, my name is Steve Kasha, and I wish you lots of future success.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.